Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. A little later, a doctor with medical and national celebrity credentials and a St. Louis background says he can help us lose weight. More on that in just a moment or two. But first, we can't ignore this weather. Most of us can cope, but what about those at the mercy of the elements, the homeless, those at great risk as the temperatures plummet? Joining me by phone is Tekka Childress, founder of St. Louis Winter Outreach, an organization that helps the homeless, and they need help in this weather more than ever, don't they, Tekka?
Oh, certainly. It's been just terrifying for people who are out there, exhausting and hard. And I'm just glad that so many people are chipping in to get people to safety.
We'll talk a little bit later about the volunteers that help you so much. But what are you finding out there and over the last 12, 24 hours?
Well, we still find people who are outside, people who are under bridges, and people at actually some of the 24-hour fast food restaurants, or some people go to get warm during the day, some people who live in abandoned buildings and places like that. So we found people still on the street. Even yesterday in the terrible snow, we were finding people, found some people in tent encampment and coaxed them in. They had some tents that were about to collapse. So still people outside. It's been really hard. And it's what's also hard is even to see all the folks who are having to be in emergency shelters. We've had close to 300 probably between New Life and our shelters, you know, who have been really filling up the shelters the last several months, or last month or and a half since it's been colder. And it's just a sign that we really need more space for people.
Yeah, you know, the numbers of homeless are always kind of hard to pin down, but from what I've heard over the years, 300 is really probably just a drop in the bucket.
Well, when I say that number, I'm referring to the people who are really outside. I'm not talking about the people who are homeless in all the shelters throughout the St. Louis area. I'm talking about the people who have not been able to get shelter, basically, in our city system. So at least that many, and probably more if you count people in abandoned buildings, people in some of the tents, and people staying on relatives' couches. So this is really, I'm talking about just the people who really don't fit in the system, who have been outside a lot.
You know, Tekka, it's really hard to believe in 21st century America that this is still the problem that it is.
Well, actually, I think in some ways it's really getting worse. Starting in the late 70s, we really had the burgeoning of homelessness, whole series of events caused this to happen, our economy, the globalization of the economy and the continuing of that, the tax structure changes that have caused us to lose a lot of businesses. You know, and then we had all the Vietnam vets coming back. We had all the, basically all the baby boomers entering the workforce. So we've had a real changes in the economy. And we have a greater, you know, as great a gap between the rich and the poor and wealth in the United States as we have since the Great Depression. So there are a lot of structural causes bringing this about. And so one of our hopes has been, with the winter outreach, is not only to save people right now, but to think of ways that we might really change this in the future. And one idea we've had is maybe going back to something like a houses of hospitality or a settlement house, a local shelter in the neighborhood that would be supported by people in the neighborhood and the churches in the neighborhood. If we could get a number of those throughout our area that might later lead to permanent housing, in building relationships, it could really change the face of homelessness in St. Louis. So this is kind of one of the visions that St. Louis Winter Outreach has, in addition to just trying to save people's lives right now.
It seems to me you're saying that government can't do the job.
Well, so that's a big question. I two things with that. One, I don't think it can, and I think it can help. But I really do believe that we don't have to wait on the government to take care of each other. And I think this is what has empowered the people at the St. Louis Winter Outreach is people have realized that they don't have to wait for anyone else to help their neighbor. It doesn't mean that all of us, including the government, don't have a responsibility to respond to those in need. It's just that we don't have to just count on the government to do it.
Well, you depend to a very large degree on volunteers, don't you?
We do. We're made up of hundreds of volunteers who come out to help. And we have the outreach program where people go out and look for folks who are outside. We have eight shelters that have opened up as part of the St. Louis Winter Outreach Network of all volunteers, people who stay the night and then go to work the next day. And then we have a group of people who shuttle people from the Centenary Church to the shelters. So it's quite a lot of people have come out to help. And this is one of the things that's most convinced me that we can really change the lives of the homeless. If there's that many of us who care, we ought to be able to do something about this.
And tell me a little bit more about your process of finding the folks that you're performing this service for. Just go out and kind of, pardon my expression here, but kind of beat the bushes to, you know, where they tend to congregate, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so what we do is we meet at Mokabee's Coffee House down on Arsenal right off of Grand at 6 o'clock any night. It's going to be 20 or below. And we folks who have been out quite a bit and who have experience always go out with any newcomers who come. And we break up into cars, and then we make sure we stay in touch all night. There's always facilitators in charge. And we have identified a lot of places that we know people stay, and we divide up the city by some of these spots, and we check some of them and stay in contact through the night. And if anyone finds someone at high risk, then we kind of join together to try to address their needs. Sometimes there might be someone who really needs to go to the ER, sometimes to the shelter. And we basically will take people to the shelter that we find who are outside.
And if they won't go in,
we'll try to get them covers and stuff. But in this weather, like right now, we're just trying to get people in.
Yeah, when you say that they won't go in, that is another impression that I've had, is that a certain percentage would rather stay out than come into go into a shelter.
I really think that's one of the actually bigger myths. Now, it is true when I say people won't go in, but it's really the percentage is extremely low. Percentage of people don't want to come in, I would say, has generally been, I don't know, 2% or something. It's very small. Most people are really anxious to get warm and get inside. It's usually people who might suffer with a mental illness and have some paranoia and be afraid to be around others. Or it might be someone who's really been drinking and their judgment's impaired. And then you'll have one or two other people who won't go in, who just want to live outside. But that is not why most people are out there. Most people are out there because they really have nowhere to go and they're dying to go in somewhere.
You know, it would occur to me that this would provide an opportunity, too. You know, you talk about people who have mental illness or other issues, that this is an opportunity to identify them, get them into a specific place, and then go beyond that to help them with these other problems.
Absolutely. It's an opportunity to build a relationship. I actually work as an agency, as an outreach worker with people with mental illness. I'm a homeless outreach worker. And actually, as I meet people, I try to build a relationship with them to help them feel sort of safe and that they have a connection and can rebuild the relationships with other people. And so we make great efforts then to try to do all the things that are possible to assist them if we have anything at our, you know, that's possible that we can do.
So it's not only a facility that they can help them deal with the cold weather and these conditions. In a sense, it's also a gateway to other kinds of help.
Well, it can be, because anytime individuals meet each other, we can help each other in all the ways that are possible. So if I happen to know resources for people with a mental illness, I can connect them to that. A lot of people who have met folks who are sleeping outside have been able to help them in other ways with things that they need. So when we reach out to each other, we can change all of our lives. I certainly have been radically changed by the people I've met, by knowing what they endure and suffer, and it's radically changed my outlook. So I think, yes, I think we can really radically change each other's lives by connecting in this way.
What about coordination between your organization and others? And I'm thinking of the city, I'm thinking of New Life, and some of the other organizations that are out there basically designed to help the people that we're talking about, the homeless. What sort of coordination is there?
Well, I've always believed that it takes all of us and that everybody together can make things work well. And so I've had a lot of respect for New Life, who have taken people when no one else has taken them. They've taken people in and saved lives, and I've always been grateful, and they've always helped in every way when I've asked for their help. This year, I've been so delighted with working with the city. They have been just tremendous the last week, especially stepping up in every way to help. Saw Bill Seedoff just working tirelessly at the city shelter. Hence, who works with the Windsor Transitional Housing Program, who runs the shelter for the city. Those folks are working so hard to kind of make sure people are safe. So they've provided a number for us to call in case people are at risk and we can't get them in through the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the FEMA. They've given us a number, which has really helped. So this last week has been a really great chance for everybody to work together and try to keep people safe.
You know, we were having a conversation here in the studio earlier and talking about the fact that the people that we're talking about to a very large degree are invisible to so many of us. Why do you think that is? And what is it about the homeless people that the rest of us don't understand, do you think, or misunderstanding that we have?
You know, it's natural when we see people who don't have what they need. Often the assumption is that they're different than us, and that's the primary misunderstanding. If you spent any time with the people who have had to sleep outside, you would find out how much they're exactly like we are. Everyone has their own story. Obviously, there are some people who have substance abuse problems, but we see those among those who are housed as well. But that's not the bulk of the population by any means. People who are outside are outside for just a million different reasons, many economic. We find people from small towns who just couldn't find employment. We met a young couple. My friend was reminding me of a story like a year or two ago of a young couple that came in and were going to school every day and carrying their backpacks and trying to study while in the shelter. They were staying in our emergency shelters, so they weren't even a regular shelter. They were trying to study and get on the bus early in the morning to go to school. And they're from out in, you know, like probably Jefferson County or something. There was no shelter out there. And so it's the homeless population are just made up of so many different people with so many different stories. And they're just exhausted. And I think that if people don't run into them every day and don't know how to have a relationship with them, they can develop misunderstandings about who they are, just how we do about any group of people we don't know.
Our time is just about up at Tech at Childress. I know you're always looking for volunteers. If people would like to get involved with your organization, Winter Outreach, how can they do so?
They can call at Mokabee's on South Grand. I don't have the number by heart here. And we meet. I don't know if we're not having newcomers come out tonight, so no one join us tonight because it's a particularly dangerous night. But generally, any night it's 20 or below, we meet at Mokabee's at 6 p.m. to go do outreach. And we also have, if you Google St. Louis Winter Outreach, you'll find out how to get in contact and join our listserv.
We'll put the information, the relevant information, on our website at stlpublicradio.org so that people who haven't been taking notes on our conversation can get the information that way. Tech at Childress, thank you so much for being with us, and congratulations to you and your volunteers for the work that you do. It's important work.
Well, thank you so much, and yes, let's pray for all the homeless. And Don, thanks for bringing this attention to everybody.
Thank you, Tekka.
All right, bye-bye.
When we come back, do you need to lose weight after the holidays? A doctor with St. Louis Roots says he can help. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.